Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
This is the Tornado Timmy Pennycow.
And Psychic Tom Padgett, ready to go.
And, Tony, did you get to hang out in sunny Florida while the Blizzard of 17 was going on?
I did, and, actually, I was gonna see if you guys have a good recommendation for a bodyguard, because I felt very threatened last week by an innocent Facebook post that I made. I didn't mean this to be malicious. I actually got some people that said a few foul words to me, and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad up here. Sucked. It was a pretty shitty blizzard. But anyway, it's going to melt soon. Spring is here. Spring is here. Right. So we had...
I'm happy. It's melting.
Yeah, you're happy? I'm happy too. Sort of.
Yeah.
I do like the snow for certain things. It helps when you're sledding wood to have some snow.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, we had a couple UFC events that we didn't get to talk about because we didn't have the show last week. We had a big boxing match this last weekend. Gennady Golovkin versus Daniel Jacobs. And it was a little close. There was a decision, which was a big surprise. Gennady Golovkin had gone, I think, 26 straight without a decision, all knockouts. So, pretty crazy. But guess what? I didn't watch any of it because I was lumberjacking in the snow. Too much.
I got to see the first any fights. On a Facebook feed, and Jacobs was doing really well. I'll tell you, a lot of people criticized Jacobs for going with southpaw in that fight. Actually, when he was southpaw, he was neutralizing Triple G's jab. When he was in the conventional stance, Triple G's best punch was his jab. I mean, he was really thumping that jab hard out there, and he was landing some good shots. Jacobs came in with a very good game plan, and you got to give him credit for that. There was a knockdown, I believe it was the fourth or fifth round. I don't remember. Fourth round, okay. And people were debating if it was a knockdown. And I said, well, yeah, it was. I said, because, their feet may have gotten tangled, and Jacobs may have been off balance, but two solid right hands landed. I mean, they were solid punches. They were the cause of the knockdown. I looked at the scorecards, and really it was, Jacobs did well early. The judges were split on those rounds. Triple G was doing better in the middle rounds. And then going into the last few rounds, it was really Jacobs that was winning them. On the one card, he swept the last three rounds. And I think on the other cards, he might have won two of the three. I don't really remember. The decision, he lost a unanimous decision, 114-113, which was the point for the knockdown. And then the other two cards were 115-112, so 7 rounds to 5, and at the point for the knockdown. I've heard some people say that, no, Jacobs should have got the fight. But sometimes in a situation like that, and I'll give you a perfect example in a moment, when a fighter has been so dominant, anything less, you tend to give the other guy more credit for it. Now, I'm not saying Jacobs didn't do quite 50-50 for the first few rounds that I saw. But the example I wanted to bring up was the fight that I ended up scoring was between Floyd Mayweather and Marcos Maidana. That's the fight where Maidana really brought it to Mayweather early and was ahead on the cards after 5 rounds. And then Mayweather did what Mayweather does. He adjusted. He neutralized him. And, he just, basically neutralized Maidana's offense and started pot-shotting him with his own punches. When I scored the fight, I had it 7 rounds to 5 Mayweather. Wins, 115-113. A lot of people were like, oh, my God, Mayweather lost. He got his ass kicked. It was a robbery. No, it wasn't. here is the fact that you're so used to Mayweather being so dominant. When somebody gave him that competitive of a fight, they were giving him more credit than he really scored.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect.
Also, there was sort of an upset in the super flyweight fight. Roman Gonzalez taking his first loss in his 47th fight.
With
Soxel Wangek. Never heard of the guy. 41-4-1 was his record going in. He got the WBC World Super Flyweight title. And gives Gonzalez the first loss of his whole career.
Great pronunciation there, Rich. Man, I'm telling you, you would be you'd be a great ring announcer. You've got the network.
Did you guys see the fight or something? So you know I'm correct, or you just it's like you know how it's spelled? I don't know.
Yes, sir.
That's nuts. I guess I don't know. It comes with the English degree.
Yeah. Attention to detail, my
stuff.
Attention to detail.
Also, another super flyweight contest. Carlos Quadras and David Carmona. Quadras won by, looks like unanimous decision. He goes to 36-1-1, and Carmona falls to 20 wins, 4 losses, 5 draws.
You know, one more thing about the main event. Did either one of you guys watch the HBO build-up for it?
No.
I did not.
Well, I'll tell you, they made such a case because I believe the odds were 8-1.
That sounds not accurate.
Yeah, and I of course I stand by my prediction of Triple G, but I was thinking maybe 3-1 would be a little more realistic. But
you know what? You're right. Triple G is a dominant fighter. He's a very good fighter. He's in his 30s, and with the notable exception of the guys like Bernard Hopkins and Archie Moore, George, and you generally don't, improve as you age. And the second of all, it's like, you're not going out there and fighting a guy that is, guy that's like, say, 15-15, or, not ranked. This guy is, a timeless. This guy has a title. A championship title. He's only got one loss. He's beaten some very good fighters, and he's a tremendous puncher.
Right? And I think that there's all the talk now about Triple G. His age came into the equation. Of course, I know when I was younger, 34 was pretty much shot, but I think it's, the new 34. 34 is the new whatever. Pick something in the 20s, but still. That could have been a factor, but now if you guys got my email from today, now De La Hoya says it's even less likely that Triple G and Canelo were going to fight.
Go figure.
I saw your email, Tom. I saw the link. I didn't get a chance to read it yet.
Yeah.
I just got
based on Triple G's performance and the pay-per-view numbers, Oscar just feels that they're in the driver's seat totally. And Triple G will have to adhere to their demands, and Triple G's not going to do that, so it looks like that fight's going to be postponed indefinitely.
Oscar De La Hoya better not be in the driver's seat. He's had too many DUIs lately.
Yeah. very good retort there. Man, this guy's on fire tonight.
I said that was a good one.
He just did get busted in Pasadena last week or something, so I'm not even... I'm not even joking on that one.
I thought that was a couple of months ago.
Oh, maybe, but I think I just read it not too long ago, so. Crazy stuff. Anyway, I did want to mention a Boston card last week at the House of Blues, same night as the Golovkin fight. One of the favorite nicknames of all time, especially for a Boston guy. I think he's from my hometown of Dorchester. Mr. Mark, the Italian Bazooka De Luca, got a big.
Didn't we, Rich?
I think we did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Back when he was first up, now.
I know we interviewed the co-main event winner, but Mark bazooka'd another win over Travis Scott with a knockout. Travis came in at 19-2. see here. We also had Danny O'Connor. That was another guy we had on the show. 27-3, beating Michael McLaughlin 12-1-1 by majority decision. And then Gary O'Sullivan, 23-2, beating Ronald Montez 17-5 by RTD. Then a heavyweight bout. The Massachusetts state heavyweight title. Niall Kennedy beat Jesse Barboza. Niall Kennedy. So he now has the USA Massachusetts state heavyweight title with 8 wins, no losses. And I've seen Jesse Barboza fight, actually. He's pretty decent. He's kind of a small circuit fighter, East Coast mostly, but he's a pretty good fighter. Anyway, we got fights going on tonight on ESPN2. Jason Quigley in the main event, 12-0, fighting Glenn Tapia, 23-3 at middleweight. And we got super bantamweights, Randy Caballero, 23-0, fighting Jesus Ruiz. There's our Jesus fight of the week. It's for a title. Jesus is 36-7-5, and vacant NABF super bantamweight title on the line in that one. And we go from Jesus to Fabiano. Fabiano Pena, 19-6-1, fighting Toriano Johnson, who's 19-1. See what else we got. Shane Mosley Jr. is fighting over in California tonight. He is 9-1, fighting Demetrius Walker, who's 8-14-2. Main event there is featherweights Daniel Franco, 15-0-3, and Christopher Martin, 29-8-3. Thank you, BoxRec, for not listing knockouts on your upcoming fights page.
I'm sure nobody. Signed up for that now or something. I was gonna do it.
Sure, nobody wants to know what people's knockouts are, right? Yeah. Not when you're like talking about fights, watching BoxRec. Alright, what else we got? Oh, mismatch of the week right here. Hands down. Find it again. Where'd it go? Where did it go? Oh, not there. All right, so we got some fights over in the United Kingdom. Talking about. Let's see. The BBB of C English Super Welterweight title on the line between Matthew Ryan and Sonny Upton. Both of them have 12 wins. Upton has 2 losses. Ryan has 1. That's on Friday. Where was that mismatch? Oh, maybe that wasn't quite the mismatch I was thinking it was. Anyway, maybe we'll find it later. Friday. A lot of TBAs on Friday. TBA is a busy man.
Is he still winless?
He has no record. It's his pro debut every time.
So he's undefeated.
Yes, you could say that. All right, now I'm on the 18th. What is going on, BoxRec? What are you doing to me, BoxRec? Folks, we're just having some technical difficulties.
We're back.
waiting for Boxrec to load. There's one in Philadelphia Friday night. Ray Robinson, the new Ray Robinson, 22-2, fighting Claudine Lacerda, who is 18-6-1. It's pretty much the best fight on that card. Alright, now it's a Saturday. Let's see, we got some undefeated fighters going at it in Helsinki, Finland on Saturday. Super featherweights Petteri Fjordholm, who is 11-0, fighting Farouk Korbanov, who's 12-0. So the vacant EBU super featherweight title. Then we got Juhal Hapoja, who is 27-7-2, fighting Leonardo Damian Bruzezi, who is 17-2. Decent fight over there in Finland. So what else got on Saturday? Over in Brandenburg, Germany, we got a super middleweight matchup between Tyron Zug, 19-0-1, and Isaac Ekpo, who's 31-2. That one's for the WBA World Super Middleweight title and the Global Boxing Union World Super Middleweight title. We also have welterweights Denise Ilbe, who's 17-1, fighting Angelo Frank, 9-0, for the Global Boxing Union World Welterweight title. And over in Italy, Lazio, Italy, main event there for the vacant Italy Super Welterweight title. Vincenzo Bevilacqua, 10-0, fighting Luciano Abis, 34-4-1 is his record. And in Chihuahua, Mexico, we've got super featherweights Johnny Gonzalez, 62-10, fighting Francisco Contreras, who is 30-5. That one's for the interim WBC Latino super featherweight title. Appropriate for Mexico. You guys still with us?
I'm still with
yes,
you.
Sir.
Oh, you're so quiet. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa. Did I lose them? All right. What else we got? I know we got a big one. Jorge Linares fighting this weekend. Fighting Kell Brook, I think.
Or is that Kell Brook? Kell Brook has just signed to fight Errol Spence.
Yes, that's right. WBC Silver Welterweight title on the line over in Singapore. Charles Mannucci, 20 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. Fighting Quadratillo Abdu Gaxarov. Whoa, that's a tough one. 10-0. It's his record. Alright. I'll find that card eventually. Here it is. Jorge Linares fighting Anthony Crolla. I knew it was a British boxer. Over in the UK. Lightweights. Jorge comes in at 41-3. He has the WBA World Lightweight title. Anthony Crolla comes in at 31-5-3. Also, co-main event, Brian Rose, 29-4-1, fighting Jack Arnfield, who's 23-2. Also, Martin Joseph Ward and Maxie Hughes fighting each other. They both have 16 wins. Hughes has 2 losses, 2 draws. Ward has no losses and 2 draws. That one's for the WBC International Super Featherweight title and the BBBFC British Super Featherweight title. Then we got Marcus Morrison coming in at middleweight, 14-0, fighting Jason Wellborn instead of Jason Bourne. is 20-6 for the WBC International Silver Middleweight title. But the big one, Linares and Kroll, is a rematch, actually. And the first one was a pretty big war. It was pretty good stuff. A lot of people talked about it, but I still haven't really seen it. I might try to watch this one, though, Saturday. Seems like a good fight. Let's see if somebody can adjust or somebody's just going to repeat. Okay, I guess this, we'll call this one the mismatch of the week because it's the headlining event here in Billings, Montana at the Shrine Auditorium. Commission, unsanctioned show. No shit. welterweights, Duran Cafaro. He's 15-1 fighting Cheyenne Ziegler, who is 3-12. 15-1 versus 3-12. That's not good.
You know, I'm trying to picture the building where that fight's going to be. I'm trying to just picture it's the crowd,
It's in a tent.
Yeah.
It's in a giant tent.
Yeah.
Freak show. Enter.
I love them. That's the one I wouldn't want to watch on television. I want to be right there. I'd want to be pick up the ambiance.
You'd want to be smattered with blood in the front row?
Right there. Blood in the beard. There you go.
It's
the best spot.
Next to Michael Stinson, the mouthpiece lands in his mouth, or in his lap.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that one. All right, over in Uruguay on Tuesday, we got Kirill Herrera. He is 38-2, fighting Julio Escudero, who's 16-6-1, for the vacant WBC Latino Super Bantamweight title. Let's see, another one worth mentioning next Friday, even though we're getting ahead of ourselves. Jean-Pierre Bowens, 40 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws, fighting Damian Wyrzynski, who is 11-0-1. That one is not for a title, but that's over in Belgium. Pretty good stuff. So that does it for boxing. We have got lots to talk about UFC-wise. We had Vitor Belfort have pretty much his last stand against Kelvin Gastelum. We didn't get to talk about that yet. Got Jimmy Manua just coming off a big win on Fight Night over Corey Anderson. Knockout in the first round. Good stuff. But Vitor Belfort is now saying he wants a Masters division in the UFC.
Good luck.
Old guys fighting old guys.
I don't think that's going to happen. This is not golf.
No, yeah. It was funny because they asked Luke Rockhold about this on UFC Tonight, and he goes, are they going to let him take steroids too?
And TRT and growth hormone.
That's too bad. Anyway, Kelvin Gastelum coming at 14-2 and gets his 15th win in style. And grabbed the mic and started speaking Brazilian or Portuguese or whatever they speak down there. Just unbelievable. Just went right from English to that like nothing. But pretty much stomped Vitor down pretty well there in the first round. 3 minutes and 52 seconds is all it took.
Ugly fight.
Yeah, and Vitor pretty much got embarrassed. But he's not quitting. For some reason. He still thinks he can go out there and fight old guys like himself, but maybe not such young guys anymore.
It is amazing how long he's been around.
Yes.
I mean, he goes all the way back to 1997, January of 97. Still
going. Other than the Gastelum fight, actually, it was a pretty decent card. And it was interesting watching Gastelum pick apart Vitor for the short time it lasted. But the co-main event was one of my favorites. Mauricio Hua versus Gian Vellante. And these guys were almost mirror images of each other, except Gian was seemed like a little bigger, a little more cut type of physique. And Hua just stuck in there, hung in there, and it was like at certain points they were rock'em sock'em robots. Just throwing right hands at each other.
Did you notice Vellante's corner was yelling, "Move your head!"
Yes, a lot.
Shouldn't you be saying that in the gym?
Yeah.
It's kind of late in the game now. I'm a tough guy, but you just knew he can't take that all night long.
Right. Vellante lost by TKO in the third round. Who knows where it was going to go on scorecards, but 59 seconds into the third. That was all she wrote for Gian. It's just a brutal knockout. Mauricio showed that he can still hang in there with the tough guys.
We'll see if Vellante can get back in the gym and really work on some head movement, or do you think maybe that's just his DNA to be very stand up and stiff?
Well, I mean, he's a taller fighter for that division, so you gotta learn how to box, basically. Maybe use some more kicks.
Yeah, it's just a shame to see a guy with that much heart and determination and power to not add something on the other end, you know.
I mean, he had Ua starched a few times, and
That's what I mean. He couldn't close
the show, and then Ua came out just pulled off the comeback and demolished him. Also Edson Barboza beat Benil Dariush in the second round with a knockout from a knee. That was a pretty brutal knockout.
That was a KO. I thought Dariush had fought a brilliant fight up until that point. I had him winning the first round, doing everything he needed to do.
And
against Barbosa, all it takes is one from anywhere.
Comeback special, 3 minutes, 35 seconds into the second round. We also had Ray Borg beating Jussie da Silva by unanimous decision. That wasn't that exciting, but we had Marion Renault versus Betch Kohea. That one ended in a majority draw. And those two girls beat the ever-living crap out of each other. That was a rough one to watch.
This is kind of pathetic, but I was just imagining Beth on a rampage if she had a cheating boyfriend. Can't you see her with a baseball bat going into some parts? I would feel very bad for that boyfriend.
Right.
Beth is very intense, and I get the feeling outside of the cage as well.
Right. Alex Oliveira had a heck of a comeback. Got a rear naked choke on Tim Means in the second round of their fight, 2 minutes and 38 seconds into that one. And he wasn't doing all that great before that, so that was another one. Kevin Lee rear naked choked Francisco Trinaldo in the second round to get his win, 3 minutes, 12 seconds into that one. Sergio Moraes beat David Ramos by unanimous decision. Joe Soto got a unanimous decision over Rani Yaya.
Soto really had some great wrestling in that fight. I mean, he really was able to reverse positions a lot.
Right. Yeah, he hasn't been able to use that a lot in his last few fights, but...
Yeah, so it's coming together for him.
Michael Prezeris also on the card, beating Joshua Berkman in the first round by north-south choke submission. 1 minute and 42 seconds into that one. We also had Jeremy Kennedy getting a win over Rony Mariano Bezerra, a unanimous decision, and Paulo Henrique Costa beating Gareth Mellon by TKO from punches. 1 minute, 17 seconds into the very first round. We got Bellator 175 coming up on the 31st. I guess that's next Friday, right? Not tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Yes, that it is.
So we're just going to kind of preview the first few fights on the top of the card. Of course, King Mo versus Quentin Rampage Jackson is the main event. King Mo Lawal comes in at 20 wins, 6 losses. Jackson comes in at 37-11. Also got Marcos Galvo, 18-7-1, fighting Emmanuel Sanchez, who's 14-3. Sergey Karatonov, 23-6, fighting Chase Gormley, who's 14-5. Jake, not the snake, Roberts, 7-1, fighting Steve Cazola, who is 7-0. Noah Lahat 10-2 fighting Lloyd Carter, who's 10-8. And we also got Joaquin Buckley 6-1 fighting Justin Patterson. We won't go through that whole entire card. But then we missed another one. But this one we're on track. We should have talked about it on this show anyway. But Jimmy Manua beating Corey Anderson by knockout, first round. Did not see it. It was over in London, England. I'm sure it was on a weird time situation. So I guess I got that excuse. But I don't know when it happened on Saturday. But it happened. Jimmy Manua knocked out Corey Anderson. Pretty good fight from what I read about. Co-main event. Gunnar Nelson beat Alan Juban by guillotine choke submission just 46 seconds into the second round. Marlon Vera beat Brad Pickett by head kick and punches in the third round, 3 minutes and 50 seconds into that one. We had a split decision win for Arnold Allen over Makwan Amirakani. And then we had Joseph Duffy winning over Riza Madadi by unanimous decision. Francimar Barroso got a unanimous decision win over Darren Stewart. Timothy Johnson beat Daniel Omelanchik by split decision. Leon Edwards beat Vicente Luque by unanimous decision. The third fight of the night, Mark Diakizi beat Timu Pakalin by knockout in the first round, 30 seconds in. And then the first two fights of the night ended with decisions. Split decision for Bradley Scott over Scott Askham. Scott versus Scott there. And then we had Lena Landsberg in the first fight of the night get a unanimous decision over Lucy Pudilova. Yeah, that's pretty much all the big stuff. Of course, we got to talk about Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, because now it's getting real. It's getting real. We got Dana White now saying it's going to happen.
Okay. I believe when I say it.
And Floyd actually, there's a story this week, believe it or not. Floyd said it could happen in Moscow, of all places.
Really?
Fucking Moscow.
Yeah, that's random.
Isn't it?
I guess Zimbabwe is not available.
Oh, well, you know, he said it while he was in Russia, so who knows how much pressure he was under to put that out there at the time. You know,
hey, yeah, how about Zaire? We could have another rumble in the jungle.
Why not? Maybe that's the only place the UFC will allow co-promotion is in Moscow.
Brian, I'll tell you, Conor is talking, screaming so much trash. I don't know if you guys caught his latest rampage.
Oh, he says he's going to knock Floyd out. He'll knock him out. And okay. I am boxing, he says.
And then I guess he was talking with Kovalov. I don't know what their conversation was like.
Oh, jeez.
Just they had a little chat beside the cage. I don't know what Conor was calling him out. I think Conor's got a full plate with Floyd.
But anyway, Dana White had come out and said, you know, I'm not going to stand in the way of him making that money. You know, it's going to be a rare opportunity for him to make that kind of money, so I wouldn't want to stand in the way of that. But also, you know, there's this whole issue of opening the floodgates. If you let this guy do it, you have to let all your fighters do it. Nate Diaz is already talking about boxing. I think he did get a license as well.
Yes.
Just like Conor. So he's convinced that he's going to do that, and he's been laughing at Dana White's offers lately, apparently. Nate and Nick have both been laughing at Dana White's offers. They want, I think, millions of dollars, and they're not getting it. And they're not getting the people they want to fight, so probably not going to see them in the cage anytime soon. And when you do see Nate, it's probably just going to be to work off his contract so he can go box.
You guys heard anything about that?
Nope. I haven't, not at all.
Nope.
I get the feeling he's going to discover he's jumping into the very deep end of that pool.
Yep. And not only is he jumping in,
I've got a double-end bag in my basement, and it's that must be what it's like fighting Floyd. I mean, it just makes me look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you just wonder if Connor just gets to that point. God damn it, we're doing a takedown or so, you know, something. And the point you had, Tony, about putting that in the contract that he can't, he does that, no money.
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up. Is I forget who said it to me a few weeks ago. They're like, you know, could it be a situation where, you know, McGregor, you know, will take the DQ, but maybe throw a kick in there and try to, McGregor throw a kick in there or something, and try to lay Mayweather out or tackle him and throw him in an armbar real quick, you know, so you lose, but like you save face. And I'm like, you know, you have to put a clause in there. It's like if you do anything, you know, blatantly outside the rules, hey, you know, shit like unintentional low blows and, you know, shit like that. Okay, they happen, you know. But, like, blatantly outside the rules, boom, you forfeit your paycheck. You know what? $25 million, boy, that says a lot, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I think it'll be more like $50 million, and McGregor will get 100. Connor will get 50.
Yeah, okay. So, you know,
more like it.
And I know Floyd's going to get the lion's share, you know?
Sure.
And believe it or not, I had a friend talk to me that a couple guys came up to him and were talking about it, as if McGregor's really a live body in there. And they're obviously very, I think they're very casual observers. They'd have to be to make
right.
that statement, but that's what they're banking on. I think those of us in the know about this see this for what it is. And I'll say this, if Conor would pull that off, he would have to be maybe the most talented combat athlete ever.
Yeah, quite possibly.
And I don't see it.
You know what? And it's funny because when I go to the gym at night, obviously I go to a fitness center, LA Fitness, and I see all, you know, walks of people there. But the one I go to, I'm fortunate. Now, some of the guys aren't there anymore, or if they're there, they're not at the same time I am. There were a lot of guys there that these were boxing guys. These were guys that I used to just sit down and really enjoy talking to. Two of them met me down when I went to see the Joe Frazier statue dedication. And you know what? Hey, it's easy to, you know, point out guys like Michael Spinks. Michael Spinks is well known if you're a boxing fan, especially over the age of 40. But these guys are like, oh my God, look, there's Iran Barkley. Oh, look, there's Nate Miller. Oh, look, there's so-and-so. These guys knew boxing or no boxing. They watch all the fights. So when I talk to them, I'm talking educated guys. Another guy that I talked to who's actually competed, you know, he's a few years older than me. He competed, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. He and I talk every night, and he and I were on the same wavelength here, like sitting there talking. It's the fight that keeps popping up in my mind when I think about this is Mayweather Gotti. Let me just preface it a little bit. Gotti was closing near the end of his career. He had been in some wars. You know, he was, you know, too tough for his own good. He fought the worst kind of fight out there. But it was Mayweather figured him out so fast, and he didn't go for the knockout. He wanted to really beat the guy up. And that's what he did. And I can kind of see him doing something along those lines here where, you know, he is a step ahead and he does stuff to punish the man. That's what I see in my mind.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that. But how about this? How many professional boxing matches had Arturo Gatti had for that fight? What was his record going in approximately? I mean, what, at least 30, 40 fights maybe, right?
He was probably closer to 50. I think when Arturo retired, he was something like 40-9, for example.
Okay. And I know he staggered on it. Yeah, he stayed for a few years after that, didn't he?
Yeah, three fights after that. He fought Mayweather and he lost. That was in June of 05. Then he came back and he beat this Finnish guy who was defeated, but a Danish guy. We were calling him a Danish pastry, Thomas Dockard, and that was the last great fight of Gotti's career, and he should have hung it up because he was perfect. But he had another title shot with that big Argentine boy, and he lost, and he got stopped. I was at that fight, and then he came back a year later and got knocked out by Alfonso Gomez. So he had three fights after Mayweather. One and two.
Okay, so he had spent decades focusing just on boxing and had a ton of experience at the highest levels. McGregor can't say that. McGregor can't say any of that. He's had, zero pro fights, never been in with someone remotely resembling Mayweather's skill level. I guess, again, I'll say what I always do. That's why we fight, but I don't know.
The deepest end of the deep pool.
All right. Well, another story that was circulating this week was about a mixed martial artist who lost the fight, got himself TKO'd, and then proceeded to choke the referee. I don't know if you've seen this video, Tom.
I did not.
Pretty crazy. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Just, and it took the guy's corner, like three people from the guy's corner to rip him off the ref to convince him.
Well, I kind of get the feeling maybe he may be looking at a lifetime ban.
Unreal. And you can't blame the guy. I mean, he's just out of his head. It happens. And it happens so much, there's a YouTube video compilation of fighting the ref. It's pretty cool. But anyway, so that happened over the weekend. Nothing else really too huge. We did mention earlier Errol Spence versus Kell Brook. That's been announced. Nothing else really earth-shattering that I can think of. So we're going to have a quick show here. So I don't have anything else. You guys got anything else?
Yeah,
got any ammo for this talk show gun?
did you guys enjoy the photos from spring training?
Yeah, I wish I was there instead of in a fucking blizzard, Tony.
You know what I gotta send you guys? I don't think I sent it to you. Did you see the one at the one sports bar where they had the mural of the Marciano Walcott photo?
Oh yeah,
I'm posing in front.
Yeah, that's my favorite place. I like that. That's cool.
Oh, I did send it to you. I forgot if I sent that one to you. Yeah, I'm posing in front of it in full costume.
Nice. And you made some friends with a player. That was good.
Yeah, I met a few players. I met the one guy from the Eagles that used to play for the Eagles. He's now a sports talk host. Kind of like me. And then the one player from the Eagles, or the one player from the Phillies, and it was funny. You saw the one player from the Phillies that I was by the field, and that's when I met him. There was another picture where there's one guy, we're all standing at the bar together, and you see one guy and his, hair is kind of wet, so you can tell he was obviously just doing something athletic. Well, he played for the Phillies. He was with the Bigs last year, late in the season. But he's going to be back in the minors this year. Well, he had come up to the Tiki Bar, and there were these two girls there. And I had seen them there, I think, last year. And I'm pretty sure they're groupies, because he came up and he was talking to them. But when we went to do the photo, they conspicuously made sure they were not in the photo. And I was like, oh, okay. I think he came up to hang out with them a little bit.
Uh-huh. All right, well, till next week, I guess that's all she wrote, folks. Thanks for stopping by.
All right,
absolutely.
Guys.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen, and I'll try to keep you more informed on some upcoming events in the Philadelphia area.
All right, sir.
Sounds like a plan, bud. Guys, have a good one.
Adios.
All right, man. Hasta la vista, gentlemen.